Let me just begin again. Hi, everybody. My name is Carla Crotel. Welcome to our second higher education sector teleconference. Thank you very much for taking part of your afternoon to join us. I hope that you find today's conversation interesting. We will be talking about how the book Investigations into Economic Class in America is being used in an inner-city urban high school in Youngstown, Ohio. The East High School here in Youngstown is a pretty sizable high school, and they have been, for the very first time, as far as I know, the first high school in the country to use this curriculum. I'd like to give just a real brief overview of what the investigations text is about and how this model got set up, and then I'm going to turn the call over to Barb, I've got your name on my brain. I'm going to turn the call over then to Brenda Scott, who is actually the instructor at East High School, teaching this class for college credit to high school juniors in Youngstown, Ohio. So I'm going to sort of assume that most of you are familiar with Phil Duvall's work, Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. That book was published back in 2004, and Phil wrote that book in collaboration with adults from poverty who are working to get out of poverty. It applies a lot of the Bridges Out of Poverty concepts and sort of exposes people to that in an investigative mode. There are several things that make that curriculum extremely unique, and I think the most important part is that it doesn't tell people what to do, what to think, or how to feel. Rather, it presents bits of information about the impact of economic class, how you can use economic class as a way to analyze and understand your world. And goes on to let people sort of figure out if and when they would like to use that information themselves. So back in 2007 or 8 or something like that, actually back in 2005, both us at Youngstown State University and the folks at South Bend, at Ivy Tech in South Bend, began using Getting Ahead with college students as sort of the entryway into career pathways, pre-college, getting ready for college, in college kind of work. And because of the work we were doing, I was asked by Phil and the folks at AHA Process to co-author a revision of investigations, a revision of Getting Ahead, that would be more tailored to the college audience, both in terms of the acceptability of the textbook for faculty and staff, and also to have some of that college knowledge content in there. So everything that's wonderful about Getting Ahead remains wonderful in investigations. It's got a little bit of a different look and feel. We did add significant content around the causes of poverty. We added some of the sort of college orientation, college knowledge information, asking students to investigate financial aid, the impact of their grades on their financial aid, and that sort of thing. We also added additional information on community asset building. And we also introduced the concepts of time management and planning earlier and more often in the book because that is such a critical area for student success in college. So, we talk about hidden rules, resources, causes of poverty, process of change, and controlling is one process of change, and then ultimately how to set goals in order to build resources so that you can do what you want to do. One of the things we know about under-resourced college students is they oftentimes get motivated enough to come to college. They might not have a real clear picture of their career path or what it takes to get there. So rather than asking them to write plans about becoming a nurse or a welder or a, phlebotomist, we ask them to write plans to build resources because the resources that they need to build will help them get where they want to go, even if that changes along the way. So as I said, I'll be turning this over to Brenda in just a moment. After we started piloting this at Youngstown State University, we were using a learning community model where the investigations course is the centerpiece of a cohort of students. They all take the investigations course, and they simultaneously take their developmental writing course, their college success reading study skills type of course, and their introduction to sociology. which is a general education course. So that's how we've been using it at YSU. Brenda has been in the Youngstown area for a long time Bridges Out of Poverty supporter, has been trained, and has used Getting Ahead in the community. So through her role at East High School, we started talking with the folks at East High School about using investigations as a credit course. We also run a dual credit program at Youngstown State, and so this is part of our dual credit program. This is a way to offer college credit to high school students. It helps them sort of realize that they can do that level of work, helps them build that future story. So Brenda and her colleagues at East High School, Jennifer Walker, Ken Andrews, and the principal, Holly Simons, has been working together using English, mathematics, and the investigations course with this cohort of students. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from Brenda about what they've been doing there at East, how, you know, why they've been doing it, what they've been doing, and how it's been working out for them. So Brenda, if you're ready, I will turn this call over to you to tell us about what's been happening at East High School in Youngstown, Ohio.
Thank you. I'm ready.
Okay.
Investigations is going very, very well. As you guys know, the school year is dwindling down. I believe we have like 21 days or something around that nature left of school. But throughout this investigation course, the students have responded very well and have made tremendous improvement throughout the year. As Carla stated, the actual class is not meant for me to teach it. It's meant for me to go in and create investigators, as the class is investigation. So they're basically investigating their own lives, the information that's given to them, and also what's going on around them. With the actual curriculum, there are 12 modules that I follow through the book. And in high school, you know, we have four quarters. We have first grading period, second, third, and fourth. With the first grading period, what we focused on was module two through four. The kids really went in. I taught them the mental model of poverty, and they created some great mental model pieces that Carla did have a chance to see. And she said it fared very, very well with the college students, so I was pleased on that part. I also went a little further, and we created mental models of their ideal communities, of what they would like their community to look like versus actual community. And it's a tremendous difference on what these kids' outlooks are of how they would want their community to look like and what the communities actually are. So that information right there was very, very important throughout the course. Another important piece in our first grading period was getting the students to do the My Life Right Now module, which is really, this is one of the hardest ones because it's bringing out the honesty of the student, of them digging into their own lives and seeing what's going on in their lives right now. You know, what's their tyranny of the moment? You know, what gets them motivated? What gets them going? What's happening on their day-to-day? So they found out a whole lot about that. Each grading period, what we try to cover four journal reflections that reflect what we're doing in our modules. It reflects class projects, and it also reflects any type of written assignments or movie assignments that we do. We have a written assignment every grading period that I give that's very, very intense for me to judge where they are right now in the course. The first grading period, I really had them look at their own family history, having them trying to focus on education levels and economic levels and trying to see the differences of what their parents and grandparents went through education-wise and what they did in correlation to their life right now. A lot of students came to me and said, you know, maybe my parents' life could have been a little bit better if he or she wouldn't have dropped out of school, if he or she would have went to college and actually finished. So they started putting the pieces together with their lives and trying to figure out, well, this is what I need to do to try to make my life a little bit better than my parents were in the situation that I'm in now. So that was huge. Every movie assignment that we give, I try to give them a movie that has them think about the characters economic status, support systems, how they overcame challenges, and in conclusion, how the economic status either changed a character or didn't change a character and why. So the students, they watch a movie every grading period, and they really dissect the movie. So very interesting. It's also fun, and it's interactive. Interaction with the class is very important. Also with participation and attendance is very important to this class, because if you miss a lot of days, you don't get out of the class what you need, because we build upon each other. And Carla touched on the learning communities. They build upon each other's experiences. They build upon each other as a group, and we have tons and tons of group discussion. It's not your traditional class and traditional lectures. So far, does anyone have any questions before I go on? Anyone has anything that they want to say?
I do. I was wondering what some of the films were that you used to support what you were showing through the modules.
We used Finding Forrester was one of them. We used They Call Me Sir. We also used a film called Black and White. Black and White was very interesting because Black and White was two families that for 6 weeks their colors were changed. So we had a black family, they changed them white through you know cosmetics and things of that nature, and then we had a white family, they changed them black. And wanted them to walk the life and live the experiences. So did nobody know that they had changed, you know, but their immediate families. So that was a very, very powerful piece that I showed. This grading period, I don't know which movie I'm going to show yet.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. The next powerful piece that the students did, second grade and period, we had a project called Walk in My Shoes. And what I did was I took inner city school kids, my kids, to a suburban school here in Youngstown. It was Canfield High School. And took them in there to get them to learn different ways of thinking, different values and climate of school structure, and seeing where it all ties in, where it all comes together. Very, very, very interesting. I have 24 students. Each student was provided a chaperone, so I had 24 of the Canfield students that they chaperoned, and they took my students and went to every class, my students, just like a regular class day. And they went to lunch with them, they went to their classes, wherever they went lockers, everything. And it was a big difference on how things were done, how things operated, the mindsets. At the end, we came down and we sat and we talked about valuing education. And one of the main questions that I had asked the Canfield students was, why do you value education as much as you do? And the responses were simple. I mean, it wasn't a choice. You know, my parents expected this. My teachers expected it. My principals expected it, and they expected it for themselves. College was always on top of their list, so this is something that they always strive for. On the other hand, with my kids, they have a lot of barriers. You know, they have a lot of things that's blocking them, so they're living that day to day. So they might be first-generation kid that would graduate from college, so this is not the norm in their families. This is not something that they always thought about. This is not something that's on the top of their list if they're trying to help out at home and getting a second job or why they would want to, you know, not finish school. So it was interesting to see how the kids interacted with it and how they just thought, like, you know, wow, you know, this, you know, education must be really important, you know, for them to think as highly. And on the other hand, Canfield students thought, well, you know, they're going through some different things than I'm going through. You know, I should, you know, be a little bit more grateful of what's going on in my life and not be so stereotypical of other people's, you know, meaning that's in the inner city. So that was very, very powerful. You know, the kids still keep in touch. You know, they have their Facebook accounts and Twitter. So they made some friendships through that also, but that was an awesome, awesome project. Does anyone have any questions about that project? No? Okay.
I think that's awesome. I mean, that is just concrete, real-life stuff. And, you know, I just want to commend you on that, the idea
Thank
for
you.
That. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, trust me, it wasn't easy. You know, I had to really be diligent and ask around with different schools, suburban schools, to let us really come in there for the day and operate on that level. So, but it was a great success, and I thank Canfield a lot for allowing my students to do that because they really appreciated it, and it helped them a lot.
Right. I was curious, what time of year did you do that? Like, at what point in the curriculum?
It was second grading period around – it was after we came back from the New Year break, but maybe
okay.
like the second week or third week in January that we did it.
Nice. So you're already immersed in a lot of the curriculum.
Yeah, so stuff was a little bit better for both schools to get in and do it, and the kids understood the project fully. I didn't want to do it too early on, so they didn't have the essence of what the actual course was about. But once they went in there, they knew what they were looking for, and they knew what questions to ask and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Third grading period, I really focused on self-assessment, the self-assessment part. That got the kids to really figure out what resources were really low and what resources were high. A lot of kids were like, wow, I didn't realize that I was low in this resource. I thought I was a little bit higher. So it gave them some insight on their own lives and what they need to do to try to increase those things, whether it was support systems. They were talking about the bridging bonds, what people that they need in their life to help them get through. Instead of always having those friends around them that's going to keep them at that same level. You know, what people do they need? What references would they need to elevate? So those are the questions that were coming to me then. We talked a lot about relationships and role models, and just the knowledge of the hidden rules itself were coming into play. And also very interesting was the formal register of language. At first, a lot of kids, they didn't feel that was important. They didn't feel that they had to change, you know, the way they spoke or how they viewed things and the books that they read. But as we went on, they really found out that language is a barrier if they don't conquer it, if they really don't focus on what they need to do, because it can ultimately keep them from a job. So those were the questions that were coming up when we started getting into the resources and the self-assessments. With the self-assessments, and I touched on it, Carla touched on this a little bit, the kids figured out what resources was needed, and this was going to help them with a career in the future. This was part of their writing project. I had them write about showing me what three or more resources were needed to be built up to achieve their future career goals. So they focused on those resources of how they were going to build them up or how they felt they needed to build that up to get to where they wanted to be in the future. Those papers are very interesting that they turned into me of how they were going to build up those three or more resources they felt were very low in their lives to get them to where they want to be in the future. Also what I did, and I just did this on my own, I brought in a lot of outside professional speakers to talk to the kids. Through third grading period, we went over resume writing and resume building. I did a lot of that with my kids. I wanted them to be prepared because that's a part of the economic part to this whole thing. I also went over a letter, how to teach them how to write a letter of interest. And I brought in some people that spoke upon that. I brought in, people, the president of the regional chamber here in Youngstown Warren area, Mr. Tom Humphreys. He came in. That was a great meeting because he really broke down where he started into where he is now, and the kids were surprised that he didn't start off as wealthy and having what he has now. He was actually poor, and how he fought through some things, and how, like we said, those bridging people helped him along the way to get to where he is today. I brought in a scholarship trustee, Mr. Brian Wolf, came in, talked to them about resume writing and interviewing and what people expect out of you, walking into an interview, dressing for the interview. So these are actually people that do hiring and firing, and the scholarship committee of telling them the importance of writing scholarships and how it can help you and things of that. So I went from the economic standpoint of it all the way to their post-secondary educational help with bringing speakers in. Also, another piece we added on was the etiquette part, and Carla can help with this. We brought in someone to talk about the etiquette with the kids because they had a tremendous interest in why there were a difference when it comes to food and eating. Why do you have to change the way that you eat when you're out with certain people? Why do you have to do certain things, the rules? So we actually took them to a 4-star restaurant after we had the meeting with them of teaching them etiquette, and it was awesome. Carla, can you speak on that a little bit?
It was such a wonderful evening. We went to a pretty classy place in Youngstown where I have been before, and it tends to get a little bit loud because I don't mean to sound stereotypical, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but it's an Italian restaurant, and a lot of the old Italian families come there to eat, and it gets loud. You know, the Italian people are happy people, and they like their conversation. These students behaved so well. They looked a little terrified when they first got there, but we didn't, you know, stick them back in a separate room by themselves. They were seated throughout the restaurant in tables of 4 to 6, and their manners were absolutely impeccable. I was actually a little bit nervous that either other customers or any of the restaurant staff might be rude. They weren't. Everybody was really wonderful, and the kids had a great time. They had a rather generous amount of money that they could spend, but it wasn't enough to get like the most expensive appetizer, entree, and dessert. And so it was fun to watch them kind of budget that, walk around and talk with them about, you know, what the appetizers were and what was on the menu and what they were going to get. And Brenda had really encouraged them to go outside of their comfort zone and order something that they had never had before. None of them, I think you had said, Brenda, none of them knew what veal was. They had never had veal.
Nope.
And these kinds of things. And so just being able to read a menu and recognize what the different options were. My husband came down. He's a poet, and so Brenda's had the students writing some poetry too. So he walked around and talked with them a little bit about that. And it was a wonderful evening. Their behavior was great. The owner of the restaurant came out afterwards and said that he just felt that all high school kids should have the opportunity to do that. And, you know, I guess all we need is a little more grant money and we'll take everybody to dinner. It was another example, I think, of Brenda's just willingness to put herself and the students out there and trust that they're going to be able to use this information to their own benefit. You know, that they can analyze and evaluate a place and the circumstance and the people that they're with and decide what hidden rules to use or not use. And they were great. Go ahead, Brenda.
Awesome. It was a great day. They still talk about it to this day. They still talk about going to that restaurant and the things that they ate, and you know, they dressed very formal. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful night that we had. To touch on what Carla said about, you know, her husband being a poet and the poems, I had my students write a poem called Where I'm From. And the poems were to get them to easily explain where they are right now in their lives without being so intrusive to them and you know, invading their privacy. So it was done in a very, you know, innovative way to them, to get them to come out. And the poems, if you could read them, they will blow your mind. of weather from, you know, what's going on in their lives, from everything from in the house to school, outside the home, to parents, siblings, friends. They really got down and really, really were creative with those poems. And it was just awesome. The poems are very, very good. Carla, did you get a chance to read any of the poems yourself?
Yes, we've got them typed up, and we're going to post them on the website for everybody to see as soon as we get permission from the students to do that. They were very insightful. And Craig will be giving you some feedback on that too, Brenda.
Oh, okay, that's great. Yeah, but the poems were done in a way, like I said, it just got them to open up a little bit better. I actually did that about the end of the first grading period going into the second grading period. So it was very early on to get them to open up a little bit about their lives and what's actually going on in their lives at that moment. Before I get into what we're doing right now, does anyone have any questions?
Can you remind me again how old the children are, what grade they are in high school?
They're juniors, range from 16 to 17.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Last grading period, we're focusing on the last module 12, and this is just personal plan for building resources, getting the kids to put everything that we learned, put it all together. And now what are you going to do with it? You know, how are you going to achieve those goals, those things that you want to reach, and where do we start? Also, this is the last grading period is really getting the kids to focus on the learning community as a whole, and it's getting them to reach back, help others, become leaders. At the end of investigations, that's where you want your kids. You want your kids to have become leaders, understand the differences in each economic class, and they can really break it down to you now in a very easy way of what goes on in life and how things are viewed and the differences and why things are different, and giving them a opportunity to give back to their communities. I had the kids pick their own field trips, what they wanted to do for their communities this last grading period, and they really wanted to focus on reading inside of the elementary schools. Just this past week, we went to two local elementary schools in Youngstown, and our kids read to all of their kindergartners and first graders, and they used the iPads. We have iPads for our AP and the actual investigating students to use in the English class that we're doing for the dual credit course. We took the iPads in. We got the kids to read the actual book from the iPad, and then we allowed the students to interact with the younger students with the iPads. It was just great. The actual reactions were unbelievable. They have the kids' full, total attention. We all know how kindergartners can be. You know, you got to be sure, because I had a actual lecture from the teacher and principals before. Like, well, you got to keep this short because you're not going to have their attention long. We were there for about an hour and 15 minutes in each class. In that hour and 15 minutes, they had every kid's attention in every class I walked in and went to, and every teacher said the same thing about how excited the kids were, how the experience with the technology with the kids of showing them you can learn through technology and how the book did. It was awesome. And letting them know the power of reading, again, that formal language register, the kids really wanted to put that on the younger kids, and it was a great turnout. It was just awesome. So those are the learning community projects that my students wanted to focus on and that we're currently doing right now. With that being said, right now, like I said, we're dwindling down. They're focusing on their last big writing project, which is pretty much wrapping up their experience in the actual investigation course I want them to explain what they've learned, what they enjoyed about the course, what they would change, if any, and what they wish they learned in this course. This particular project, it's a 6 to 10 page project, so they're saying a lot. So they're going to give a lot of feedback of how the course went, what they learned, what they enjoyed, and also if they want to change anything, if they want to add anything to it. I think they will be great people, great critics, if I can use that word, to try to improve what they have gone through and what we're trying to do in the future. But with that, that's pretty much it. The course is a very, very good course. The kids wanted to know where they're going to be taking the same course next year. And I have some sophomores that gets all the excitement from the juniors that wants to be in it next year. So it's a great course. That's all I can say, is a great course. And like I said, in conclusion, the investigators, you know, they really have became leaders and really have changed in a lot of ways of their thinking. And if anybody have any questions, I can take them, but that's pretty much sums up the course.
I wondered what your impression is of what, you know, could you start this at an earlier grade level, like sophomore year or freshman year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The earlier, the better, in my opinion. I think the earlier you can start this, even if it was on a elementary level, to get them to understand different classes and how people think and why they think in that way, it's only going to allow them to grow up to be better. And also it allows you to conform these kids in a way where you want them not just thinking, well, this is how it is because this is what I grew up in. You know, there's no other way to do this. There's no other way to do that. So that gives us opportunity to go in there and get them to start changing their mindsets and being a little bit more open-minded about everything that's around them. Oh, yeah, 9th grade, 10th grade, I think it can be done.
There is another resource for younger students in middle school and in early high school through AHA Process by Betty Sutherland, and it's called the R Rules, the letter R as in rabbit, the R Rules. And it talks about respect and responsibility and all kinds of things that start with an R, sort of also talking about the lens of economic class. But for younger students, it's a little bit more in line with what students expect in terms of sort of being handed information. I field tested that book with two young people who live next door to me. They were up visiting their grandma and grandpa for the summer and was really taken with how fascinated these two people, the boy was about 10 and the girl was 13. There's a page of careers. It just lists careers, like three or four columns of careers. And they were just fascinated at the breadth and depth of so many things that they could do with their life because their perspective was very narrow. You know, not a lot of people in their family worked, and the jobs that they did, you know, tended to be the manual labor, entry-level, low-skill jobs. And
right.
We spent probably 3 days talking about that. That's not something I would do with college students. You know, with college students, I would say, hey, how do you find out about careers? Where do you go to find out about careers?
Right.
Well, who's going to go to the one stop and who's going to go to the career center and who's going to do what? And then let them go out and investigate it and bring that information back to share. So just a little bit of a difference there in how the learning is approached.
Are there any other questions?
Hi, my name is Mary Fox, and I'm from Central Ohio Technical College.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of my questions is, like, what exactly is the avenue through which you are giving them the college credit? Is it dual enrollment, or is it post-secondary, or concurrent enrollment?
Let me answer that question, Brenda. We're doing a dual enrollment course, which is, you know, the students stay in their high school. Brenda's a high school teacher. She teaches the course as part of her normal workload. So Youngstown State incurs very little to no cost of instruction. therefore we charge a alternative tuition rate and makes it extremely affordable for the school district to provide this. Under PSEO, the students would come to campus and we would take a whole bunch of money off of the school district, and that doesn't make anybody very happy because we don't get paid as much as we want to get paid, and we take a lot of money out of the district, so that doesn't work too well.
How many credit hours is given for the course?
Yeah, we have the course approved as an elective credit course through the College of Health and Human Services for 3 credits. When we began this, we started it as a pilot, and we embedded the investigations material into a reading study skills class.
Okay.
Then we pulled it out, and we ran it as a special topics course. You have to find a sympathetic academic department.
Right.
And somebody who understands the reason for this. And I think the health and human services people and the education people are most sympathetic because that's where a lot of under-resourced students gravitate for their majors. They want to go into the same profession. You know, Brenda inspires them, so they want to teach. Or, you know, they have a social worker, and so they want to do that. So you find an academic champion to let you pilot the course. You can usually get away with that for a couple years while you prepare to get the course through your campus's process. There's generally a curriculum committee that reviews the curriculum, a syllabi, what books are you using, what are the learning outcomes, and then they bless the course, and so now it's a bona fide course.
Okay.
The next step, then, is to get it approved as a general education course. To get a bachelor's degree at Youngstown State University, you have to take X number of credits from this menu of gen ed courses. Some majors have very, very few free electives. So it's important that, you know, we're not asking students to take a bunch of credit hours that don't actually apply towards degree. So if we can get it approved as gen ed, it'll be much more versatile, and will also help open the door to having the course approved as part of the statewide transfer agreement module. We do have Kent State University at the Salem campus and Eastern Gateway Community College in Jefferson County, and also in Youngstown and in Warren, who are also offering the class. So there's a bit of a concentration of activity over here on the eastern side of Ohio, and we're hoping that we can move this along to establish the course formally so that it can be of the maximum benefit to the students.
Excellent. And then I kind of have a question for Brenda as well. How are you recruiting the students in the high school to take this course? Are they on an advanced track, or are they students, more on the needing of services, I kind of RTI kind of stuff? What's the population, and how are you recruiting them to take the class?
Okay. Well, the principal and the other instructor, Mrs. Jennifer Walker, they actually handpicked the kids, and they wanted to focus on the kids that usually fall through the cracks. That's like that middle kid that's not a bad student, not the top student in the class, but the kid is right there in the middle, more so like a 2.5 student, to try to focus on that to get them to be in this class to try to elevate them.
Okay.
Not saying that they have to go that way every single time. I think that would be to the discretion of the actual school. But for our school, we decided to focus on that kid that was ranging, like I said, max like a 2.5, you know, down to like a 2.2, to get them to try to elevate themselves and want more out of their education.
Excellent. And is it counted kind of as an elective for the high school students as well, or how is that working out curriculum-wise in the high school?
In the high school, for us, it goes under social studies.
Social studies, okay. And is that what you teach?
I teach that in English.
Okay.
And I just want to add, let me just add about our requirements for dual enrollment. In general, our college and high school program is serving the upper tier of students, students who have a 23 composite ACT score and a 3.0 GPA. We sought permission and were allowed to waive those entrance requirements for the sake of this pilot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about the college readiness agenda. There's a lot of talk about aligning expectations in high school and in college, you know, to what the entry level in college is. And that's also very much what we're trying to do here. I'd like to add a little bit more, not to get off the subject of investigations, but just about the math and the English course so that you can see where we're going with this. These are junior year students who, as I said, would not meet our traditional college and high school dual enrollment admission standards, but we've got them in. We are using for the math course a product from Pearson Publications called My Math Lab, and it's a web-based package that the students have. There's tutoring things on there, there's problems, there's instructions, and there are web-based tests. So the students are taking Algebra 2, which is perfectly aligned with one of our developmental math courses at YSU, Math 1507. So the idea here is we have Math 1500, 1501, 1503, and 1507. So the idea here is that if these students can get through this course and take the final exam in this web-based environment and pass it to the satisfaction of the math department, they do not need to be retested for placement if they come to YSU. In other words, we're not going to let them forget all their math all summer long after their senior year and come in and test back at basic number concepts and get to learn it all over again. What we're saying here is that the students have proved that they have learned this math, they've proved that they've mastered Algebra 2, they've proved they can learn math. Let's get on with it and see what happens there. So we're excited about that. We definitely need to track these students and see what happens to them in their college careers and how they do, because most folks aren't doing that. And it's difficult with developmental education because there's very little alignment among the college campuses, much less how the students are coming out from schools in terms of their preparation. So that's the math component. Hopefully the students will pass the algebra and they will have tested out of several sections of developmental math, and if they come to YSU, they are coming into college-level math. On the English side, Ms. Jennifer Walker was actually the Ohio Teacher of the Year in 2009, and if you just want to feel bad about yourself, you spend some time with her because she just does everything so well. I don't mean that she doesn't make you feel bad about yourself, but she's just the most amazing person in the world. She's working with an English faculty here at YSU, and she is teaching the developmental writing sequence embedded into their junior year English course. We're being pretty tight about that. You know, the importance of language and the importance of writing and formal register, and I think rightfully so, the English department's being pretty stringent about the requirements for testing out of developmental English. But if the students are able to meet the requirements and test out of developmental English by writing an essay that passes muster and whatever else the English department wants them to do, then they will be able to take one or two college-level English courses their senior year of high school. They'll be able to take a American literature course, Diversity in American Literature, for 3 credits of gen ed credit, and they will also be able to take their freshman writing course, 3 credits of English composition, which is very exciting. So that's sort of the trajectory and the path that we want to see happen. The big question is to figure out how can we keep the energy of this group alive in their senior year, because I'm seeing a level of leadership and engagement that is truly remarkable. You can see the students beginning to listen to local news stories, think about the leadership in the community, think about world politics, think about themselves, and starting to use the terminology and the analysis to understand it from more abstract ways, and they've got some ideas about how things ought to change. And I think that is always the biggest challenge for those of us that are using investigations or getting ahead is, okay, and then what? Because you set these students' hair on fire, and they're so excited, and they have all of this knowledge, and they're so empowered, and we have to continue to support that and nurture that and guide that, because they can get themselves, you know, in trouble if they get too excited with the wrong people. You know, Mr. Tom Humphreys from the chamber comes in, and they want to be sure that they're able to talk to him in a way that he's able to hear them, so that they can, you know, contribute to solving the many, many problems in Youngstown. Our community is at a real crossroads. We were just labeled as the poorest city in America. We have the highest concentration of poverty of any city in America, on the one hand. And on the other hand, we've also been identified as one of the top 20 cities for job growth. So people who are ready and willing and able to work and learn are going to be able to take advantage of those jobs. And people who have been stuck in the kind of decline that we've had in Youngstown since the demise of the steel industry back in the 80s, you know, we've built generational poverty here after the steel mills just added to the poverty that already existed. And we have to work really hard to help those folks be able to get back on their feet and take control in their communities and their education and their lives. So what are we going to do about that, Brenda?
Well, we're going to try to continue to expand what we're doing right now, try to continue to get the kids to see the importance of education, value in education, you know, building up those resources so we can have productive young people coming up and graduating, you know, at Youngstown State. We can have some great things coming up.
The students are going to stay together for their English class in their senior year. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So whether they qualify to take the dual enrollment classes for credit or whether they're only going to take them for high school credit, this cohort of students is going to stick together for their senior year. So I think that's a really, really nice feature of the program.
Mary Fox again. I have another kind of logistical question. Sorry about all the logistical questions, but are you using the Compass test to figure out where these students are when they're coming in, or no?
We did not do any placement testing.
Okay.
We had Ohio placement test scores for Ohio graduation test scores for some of them, and they just took that test again here at the end of their junior year, and they also just took their ACTs, but we don't have any of those scores back yet. So you'll have to stay tuned and check the website, and we'll write up a little report about how things turned out.
Okay, I just didn't know, because we use the Compass as a metric when our students are taking dual enrollment, and I know that you've kind of said that you'd lowered the bar a little bit for this particular group, and so was there any kind of particular cutoff for, I mean, there was the mention of a 2.5 GPA, but is there any other kind of cutoff that you guys used so that you weren't having students who really weren't able to participate in the class?
Yeah, I think the key here was the intense involvement of the principal and the guidance counselor and the other teacher. They knew the students, and they, you know, they pretty much said, you know, here's a group of students that we think can benefit. We know these kids, and I certainly felt confident in their assessment, and I think it worked out pretty well.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Could you speak to what goals and outcomes were set for the students? You know, was there a pre-test and a post-test done, or what were the goals of the course?
Carly, you want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Initially starting off, there was not a pre and a post-test that was set up. The course was very, very foreign to the kids, especially with the format and how it was conducted. As you go along, your actual evaluation comes from the writing assignments and the actual activities throughout the course. You will just visually see the actual changes through their writing, whether it's their journal reflections, all the way to their writing assignments. You see the way that they talk, the things that they add, the vocabulary, their judgment, everything shifts throughout the whole timeline of the actual course. And that's how I took everything this year, with it being a pilot and us not knowing, you know, how the high school kids were going to take it, because, like, Carla's doing this in college, you know, they're a completely different maturity level. So I just took it as a timeline of what I wanted to achieve from them following the modules and just seeing the progression through their actual writings.
One of the sort of keystones behind the process that happens in investigations is the idea that it's a journey of self-discovery.
Yes.
Certainly at the college level, we avoid the pre-test, post-test scenario. We don't really use tests at all. As this is piloted and experimented with in high schools, some places might feel a bit of a need for that. But, you know, one of the things that happens with under-resourced students is they've really been disenfranchised. They've had multiple experiences with being told that they've failed. And, you know, when you're examining the impact of economic class on individuals and societies, as long as you're trying to use your brain, I'm not sure that you're going to fail with that. And so we try to stay away from that type of grading and instead really try to help students see when their brain is working, when they're connecting the concrete bits of information and relating it abstractly to their life. And so you see that thinking process develop. I think we have some syllabi posted on the website that you can take a look at that lists the kind of goals and objectives for the course overall. But we don't do a lot of traditional.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lorraine Romero. I'm with Houston Community College.
Hi.
And I wondered what type of curriculum you're using for the freshman comp courses that the high school students are taking.
That is largely controlled by our English department, and I have some familiarity with it because I talk with the English folks a lot. thankfully, they use some reading assignments that are related to economic class issues. They have reading assignments that talk about language, that talk about race, that talk about prejudice and those kinds of things. So it's relatable, and hopefully the students are making the connection between what they're talking about in Brenda's class and what they're talking about in Jennifer Walker's class. So I know that, you know, the comp courses often, you know, they read these things and then they have to write assignments about that. And I have some assignments from another instructor. We might be able to ask Jennifer Walker if she would be willing to share her assignments online if you feel that would be helpful so that you can see what we're doing.
That would be. Thank you.
Okay.
If that's agreeable.
Okay. We'll ask her.
Thank you.
Could you share with us what website that you're referring to?
Could you say that again, please?
Yes, could you please share what you referred to a website a couple of times, and we started here at Wartburg College just a little bit late, so you may have given it in the beginning and we missed it, but would you mind sharing it again?
Sure. It's called the collegeachievementalliance.com, so www.collegeachievementalliance.com. And you can get to it directly. You can also get to it through the AHA process, ahaprocess.com website. There's a tab for higher education. You can get to it through the Bridges Out of Poverty website.
Thank you.
I have a question. This is Angie from the Investigations and Circles group in the Northwest, Walla Walla and LCSC. I was just wondering on logistics of the class, on kind of the amount of times the class meets, how many times a week, and kind of the duration, if this is all year or one semester, and that could have been something early on that I missed as well.
Not a problem. Right now, class can consist of 24 students, pretty much even boy-girl ratio. we meet 5 days a week. Every day, meet every day, every school day, one period a day, which is about 45, 45 to 50 minute periods. Hello? Hello?
You can keep talking, Brenda. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I thought I heard somebody screaming.
I don't know what that shriek was in the background.
I'm sorry. But like I said, yeah, we meet every day, 5 days a week, for, like I said, for about 45 to 50-minute class periods, 24 students, you know, regular, it's a regular, you know, class, regular class size.
So how many months long does that last?
The whole school year. We do all four grading periods. That's what we decided to do for this particular pilot. I mean, I'm sure it can be altered for, like, semester classes, but for this particular pilot that was, you know, attached to the math and the English, we did it for the entire school year.
Mm-hmm. That gave you the opportunity to do a lot of these extra projects and going off campus,
yes,
and things like that. Do you think you could have squeezed it into a half a year time period? Do you think that would be, would you want to try that? Do you think it would be better just the way it is?
No, I most definitely could have squeezed it in a half year. I mean, with the four grading period, I really had to stretch it. I had to make it go, you know, further. I most definitely could have condensed it into one semester. It would have been a lot of information, but it would have been very interactive for the kids. Everything would have been ongoing. It would have been nonstop, boom, boom, bam. But I don't think young people would have a problem with that. So most definitely I could have, you know, condensed it into a semester class.
Did you ever run into the problem of the high school students? We run into this a little bit with some of our investigations classes on the college campus when there were freshman students that don't have a lot of kind of that life experience yet, struggling to kind of understand,
yes,
some of the concepts.
Yes.
What do you do when you run into that?
In the book, it's a couple of chapters that was just, you know, pretty much over,
yeah,
over the kids' head. Like module, yeah, four, for example, the rich and poor gap,
yeah,
and how it works. We just went into things just a little bit, and I just, you know, proceeded smoothly with the other modules. It was a little bit over their heads because I usually have my students pre-read things before we come to class to discuss. And class is very open, it's very interactive. And, you know, with Miss Brenda, you know, I don't understand this tax, I don't understand this. And it's just like they haven't reached that point yet, them being, you know, high school students. So, yes, it's a couple, you know, it's a couple modules that is a little bit over their heads. And like I said, I just pick and choose the pieces that I want to talk about that they truly understand, and I kept moving. But, you know, I brought this up to Carla, and she and I are going to sit down and talk about that with, you know, the high school or younger students just taking this class, of how we can tweak it so it's a full understanding. We just haven't had that talk yet about, you know, which modules. But, yes, most definitely I came – I crossed that hurdle, and I just handled it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
We're right at 4 o'clock. Are there any other questions? It's 4 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know what you folks out there in Walla Walla are doing. But
I had a quick question.
Yes.
I was curious about what you plan on doing. You said you have seniors that are interested in taking a leadership role, and I was just wondering what you did with that, like if you plan on bringing them back and helping the juniors, or I was just curious of what the plan is there, like if you keep them involved in the program or if they're finished with it or how that
right
works.
My plan, if I have a say so on that with my seniors, with these particular 24 kids, if and when I do get a new set of juniors, I can have those kids reach out and tell them about this course and how, what they need to focus on and how it will, you know, affect their mindsets. So I would want them to lead in that way, as them coming in, talking a little bit about the class, what they've learned from the class and gotten from the class and how it can help them improve. Because earlier on, like I said, the first grading period to me was like the most challenging, because you're really digging in someone's you know, personal life when you start talking about, you know, mental models of poverty, what poverty look like, what their life look like right now. Sometimes it's embarrassing. You know, kids don't want to come out, but when kids start seeing that, you know, the kid to the right of me, oh, well, we pretty much the same, or, you know, the kid to the left of me, oh, they going through this too. They overcome things to get together, and with these particular kids they have, and they have built some great friendships with this class where kids, I had kids that started off didn't speak at all, and now, you know, where they have embraced the whole situation. That's what I've kept with right now, but we'll work on something for the seniors and trying to keep them engaged and keep them involved.
Do you have any other questions? Well, I don't want to keep you past your appointed time, but I thank you so much for your questions and your interest. Again, I'd like to reiterate, if you would please send an email to our college engagement manager. Her name is Barbara Duncanson, and so her email is B for Barbara Duncanson, D-U, I should have written this down, Duncanson, D-U-N.
C-A-N-S-O-N. @ahaprocess.com. bduncanson@ahaprocess.com. And while I briefly have the airwaves here, we are recording this. We'll make a link available. The first place it will be available is via email, if you send me your email. Second place it will be available will be on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/collegeachievementalliance, all one word. And the third place it will be available is on our website under the video and soundbite link. So you can look for it there. But if you send me your email, you'll get it first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to extend my gratitude to Brenda Scott, who does all this work as part of her regular day, and it's an awful lot of work, and it's an awful lot of energy and enthusiasm. She's a great example of the difference it makes when you have a facilitator with a lot of credibility and a lot of facilitation skills. So thank you, Brenda, for your hard work.
You're welcome.
All of you, thanks. For all of you on the line, thanks so much for joining us. Please feel free to email in any questions, comments, concerns, and we'll continue the dialogue.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, folks. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.